Hallelujah. Grab your Bibles, if you will. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, beginning with verse 13. I don't know why it is, but the Lord keeps on bringing me to all these flood passages. I wonder why that could be. Anybody have any ideas? I'm going to talk to you this morning on the subject of let it rain. Genesis chapter 7, beginning with verse 13. Genesis chapter 7, verse 13. Says, on the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was upon the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark. Let me repeat that. They lifted up the ark and it rose high above the earth. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, this is your word and we are your people. And Lord, we have come into this place this morning earnestly desiring to hear from you. And God, we know that whenever two or three gather together, you are there in their midst. And Lord, we have more than two or three. Lord, we know that you're here. So Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you remove every hindrance, every obstacle, and every barrier. Let our ears be tuned into your voice. Let our hearts, Lord God, receive your word from your throne in heaven. Let it descend into your throne in our hearts. And Father, let us evermore be changed by the word we receive. Because Lord, it is all for your glory. It is all for your honor. And Lord, we pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen, amen. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, again, I want us to talk about the simple subject of let it rain. I want to kind of look at the story of Noah, but from a different perspective, a slightly different perspective. Most of the time, when we look at the story of Noah, we look at it from the perspective of the judgment that's coming and how that God always spares someone, and that's fine, and that's actually a part of what I want to focus on today. But there's more to it than just the judgment that was coming. And this is how that I felt like the Lord was beginning to release this word in me. That many times God gives forth a curse, and upon those whom judgment is needed, they receive that curse as a curse. But God turns the curse around for the saints, for the faithful. He turns it around and turns it into a blessing. For instance, the first curses that we have in the Bible after Adam and Eve sinned, right? The first time that man received a curse, man was told he was going to have to work the ground by the sweat of his brow, and that out of the ground it was going to bring forth briars and thorns. And he was going to have to toil with briars and thorns. Thorns are a curse. Yet, how many of you like roses? Right? There's a blessing that can be there as well. Many of the medicines that we find today come from plants that have thorns. They were a part of the curse. As if that's not enough, when Jesus Christ was being prepared to be crucified, they made for him a crown of thorns. Now, the reason that that's a part of the blessing, though Christ received the curse of it, just as he would receive the curse of hanging on a tree, the reason that it's a blessing for us is because Isaiah says, remember where it says, by his stripes we are healed? Literally in the Hebrew, it says, by his piercings we are made whole. Every part of our body, our mind, our spirit, our nature can be healed because of those things that pierced him. And the very thorns that were a part of the curse pierced his brow. You see, it's not just the whipping that he took on his back. It's the blood that was spilled during everything he endured that brings forth our healing. His blood paid for our healing, even though it involved curses. The curse of thorns and the curse of hanging on a tree. Look at the second curse that was given to mankind. It was given toward woman, right? God said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the serpent, and between your seed and the seed of the serpent. He told the woman, you are going to have to give birth in pain, in suffering. You are going to give birth. But he said, as a result of all of this that goes on in you and through you, he said that the serpent will one day bruise the heel of your seed, woman, that you have given birth to as a part of the curse. The serpent will bruise his heel, but he will crush the head of the serpent. So immediately at the beginning of time, when God first began to give curses toward men, he turned it in such a way that for the faithful, even the curse could be turned around and made into a blessing. So I say all that because if we begin to look here at Noah, there are some interesting things that we need to pay attention to. Now, why is it important for us to look at Noah? Why is it that, Pastor, you're taking us back to Genesis to talk about where we need to be today? Well, you know, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, it says Jesus is talking about the end of times. He says, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, this is what I want you to think about here. Because when we talk about the coming of Christ, so many times we get focused on particular aspects. We think of how that we're all going to be raptured. That's great, and that's really one of the things I want us to think about this morning, is how that we will be raptured. That's a part of the promise of God. But then there's also the part that is the judgment upon the world. The judgment will come. And when we talk about end times, you know what? Sometimes when I teach on Revelation, people, they like reading Revelation. They like the teaching on Revelation. But sometimes they get scared. And you know what? The book of Revelation is not there to scare you. It's there to encourage you. The coming of Christ isn't there to scare you. It's there to encourage you. And to let you know that we have a lot of work that we need to get done right here and right now. So Jesus says that when we come to the end of times, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. So if Noah receives word that a curse is coming upon the whole earth, a judgment is getting ready to be poured out on the whole earth, but then he receives this word also that God is going to turn this judgment into a blessing for Noah and his family, then so also it will be for those of us who are like Noah in the end. Everybody's doing everything like they always have. But even though we're coming close to the end, God desires to turn what will be judgment upon the rest of the world into a blessing upon the people of God. A lot of people think you can't have a revival in the end of times, that there has to be a great falling away. Great fallings away have been taking place over the entire period of time that the church has been on this earth. Constantly there's fallings away. Fallings away, people chasing after false doctrine, people just completely rebelling against God, people backsliding against God, entire nations turning their back against the Lord. I think it's interesting that this weekend in Washington, D.C., there was a great gathering of people coming together to get America back to its roots. And they said, this is not a political gathering. There may have been politicians there, but it was not a political gathering. Now, the guy who put it together, a lot of people want to put him down because he's a Mormon. Well, maybe so. But you know what? I've met Mormons who really do have a relationship with Jesus. Why they're still a part of the Mormon church, I don't know. The Lord has not freed them to leave that for whatever reason. One of the ladies that I attribute to me being a minister, to me actually following Christ and rededicating my life to the Lord, she herself was a Mormon who came to know Jesus through the Mormon church. She fell in love with Christ, and received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And then the Holy Spirit began to show her things in the Mormon church that were not right. So she went and asked those people that were over her in the church, and they kicked her out. So she went and joined in Assemblies of God, and they taught her everything she needed to know about the Holy Spirit. And then after a while, the Holy Spirit said, "You see that little bitty Church of God over there, that little block building in Ontario, Oregon, that you pass every time you go to Idaho to go to church?" She said, "Yes." The Holy Spirit says, "I want you to go to that church, and I want you to teach their high school class." Well, there's just one thing about that little Church of God. They only had 3 young people in it. And they only had one of them that was in high school, and that was me, and I was backslidden. And she stopped in, and she loved on me, and she prayed for me every day. What are you trying to say, Brother Darrell? What I'm trying to say is this. The movement that was taking place, that was exemplified in Washington, D.C. yesterday, at the core, at the heart of their message that they gave out yesterday, it was not, let's get rid of everybody who's in Congress and get rid of everybody in the White House. It was not, let's see that this legislation is passed. The number one theme that came out yesterday was, we need to get this nation back to God. And even that person that people put down because he's a Mormon, you know what he said? He said, people need to start praying again. And he said, parents, you need to open the door to your prayer closet and let your kids see you praying, because they need to know the reality of your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is coming from a Mormon. Now then you had Sarah Palin who got up and spoke too. And for those of you that don't know it, she's spirit-filled. She speaks in tongues. Some of you might not like her because she's a woman who ran for politics. Hey, that's between you and the Lord. All I know is what's between her and the Lord. She claims the Lord has saved her. She's received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She speaks in tongues. There were other individuals that got up and spoke. There were well-known evangelists who got up and spoke and got up and prayed over our nation yesterday. And yet the news brings it out that this was somehow a racial gathering, because it was mostly white. And they gathered together on the same spot that Martin Luther King had presented his famous speech about his dream. But the whole core of their message was, let's get back to God. Let's get back to God. You know what? The Lord does not have to have everyone disappear from the churches. The Lord doesn't have to allow for a great falling away to continue to go on. He's calling us closer to Him. And when we answer that call and we press in close to His heart, He will turn even the curses that are in existence all around us, He'll turn them into a blessing. The financial debacle that our nation is in right now, all the way from Washington to Wall Street, and then from Wall Street, from coast to coast, everywhere, all of the mess that our nation is in. You know what? God can turn it around for His glory. God can turn it around and turn it into a blessing. Noah receives word that a bad day is coming. He spends 100 years working toward that bad day that is coming. But he's not working because of it being a bad day. He's working because he has a promise that supersedes however bad that day will be. And so this is what I want you to see from the life of Noah. First of all, he received a personal promise. He got close enough to the Lord that he received a personal promise. In Genesis chapter 6, it tells us that God was ready to wipe everybody out, but Noah found favor. Noah found grace with God. And God gave Noah a promise that even though I'm going to flood the world, I'm going to destroy it all, you will be saved. Your family will be saved. The animals around you will be saved. Everything that comes to you will be saved. When we read it there in the passage, it said that the animals came to Noah. It didn't say they came to the ark. It said they came to Noah. Noah just happened to be at the ark because he had received a personal promise, and he wasn't going to let anybody turn his mind away from the personal promise that he had received. That personal promise kept him guided for over 100 years. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they're born. Scripture tells us he's about 500 years old. He receives this word from God. He starts building. Now he turns 600 years old. Tom thinks that he's accomplished something by turning 90. Noah turned 600 years old. And when Noah turns 600 years old, the Lord comes to Noah and says, Noah, you've got 7 days left. Now, if you're like me and you've been working on something for 100 years and God tells you you've got 1 week left, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to say, I've been working on this for 100 years, I don't know if it's really going to happen in 7 days. Or else you're going to say, I've been working on this thing for 100 years and I'm excited because I only got 7 days left to go. The church has been working on something for 2,000 years. It's been working on ushering in the kingdom of God on earth. And as we get closer and closer to that moment when the kingdom of God is obvious, so many times we find ourselves thinking, Lord, we've been working on this for 2,000 years. And the Lord says, yeah, but you've only got a few more days left to go. And then my promise is going to be complete. I'm going to come. I'm going to get you. I'm going to rescue you. Now, the promise was personal for Noah. We need to go back to the personal promises God has given us. And in the face of our adversity, we need to remember those promises. Whatever that promise is. You know what? How many of you ever get alone with God and you're praying and it turns into a complaint session? Right? I do that maybe a little bit too often, just to be honest. I got in a complaint session with God yesterday. I was looking at my checking account and looking at the bills that are due and looking at different things going on. And I said, Lord, where's the promise? I'm trying to remember. God, what is the promise? And He took me back to something that Doyle told me. I said, yeah, but Lord, was that really you or was that Doyle? Because Doyle said it and it hasn't happened yet. Doyle told me it was going to be hard financially on me while I was at this church, but that God was going to turn it around and God was going to bless me financially because of my faithfulness. And I'm sitting here and saying, God, Doyle said that. Doyle's with you now, God. I can't even complain to Doyle about it anymore. The Lord kept on bringing me back to the promise. And I began to go through and I began to go through all those scriptures. I began to say, the Lord... I've been young and I'm now old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. I went back and said, the Lord makes the sun to shine on both the righteous and the unrighteous. Of course, then I also looked at how He makes it to rain on both of them too. I went back and I started to go through all those scriptures, and I went to sleep last night meditating on those scriptures of promises that God has given in His scripture. Of how that God will supply all of our needs. We go back to those personal promises. Make them personal. Now, I'm not saying every promise in there is a promise for you. Because if God says, go out and kill your enemies and I'll be with you, I don't think that you're supposed to go out and kill your enemies. As a matter of fact, the only enemy that you're supposed to be fighting against doesn't breathe air, does not breathe oxygen. You can't kill him. He's not flesh and blood. So I know there are some promises in Scripture that might not be specifically for you. But there are promises that God wants to bring to life within you. And you need to go to those promises. One of those promises that we can all agree on that belongs to us. It belongs to us. It's eternal life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that Jesus has given us, eternal life. And then in Luke 24 and 49, there's another promise that we can all agree that's for all of us. As Jesus speaks and He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. What was the promise of His Father? It was the Holy Spirit. Make the promises personal. Have a personal promise. The next thing in Noah's life is he passed on the promise. We need to pass on the promise. Who did he pass the promise on to? He passed it on to his family. He passed it on to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They grew up watching him build a boat that was not only on dry dock, but there was no dock anywhere around. They never seen anything this big. They never experienced, but they watched as their father continued to be obedient and build because he was focused on the promise. And as he's building, I believe every time that he hit his thumb with the hammer instead of hitting the nail, that instead of saying something ugly, he said, "Oh God, I'm focusing on the promise." I believe his children watched as righteous Noah built that boat. And then as the animals suddenly began to be drawn toward Noah, they watched. They knew there's something different here because God put something between the animals and people later after the flood. But something is different here because these animals are coming looking for Noah and they're coming two at a time. They're coming to where Noah is. They're drawn to him. The Holy Spirit is drawing animals. And the kids are watching and Noah's telling them, "This is all a part of the promise that God gave to me. You just watch and see. He said it's going to rain and he said it's going to be bad for everybody else, but God has spoken good over us. He's got good things in store for us, kids. Just watch and see." And when it came to that day, that seventh day after 100 years, and it comes to that seventh day, and it says Noah enters the ark with his children, their wives, and his own wife, and his whole family comes into the ark. How many of you know you can pass on the promise to your family? You can pass on the promise to your family. I always get excited when Owen tells me about one of his nieces or nephews that gives their heart to the Lord. And here this last time when his niece gave her heart to the Lord and all of a sudden all these other family members start coming in and giving their hearts to the Lord and then Owen goes to be a part of their baptismal service, that's exciting. You can pass the promise on to your family. You can let them know the promise is real. Jesus said that he's coming. Jesus said he has eternal life for me. Jesus said I can have the promise of the Holy Ghost. He said all these things and we share that promise with our family. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." That sounds exactly like Noah. Scripture tells us that Noah was a prophet. He was a man of righteousness, and he proclaimed what God was getting ready to do. He went and he told that perverse generation, "You better get ready." And the only ones who listened were his family. They listened to what he had to say. He passed on the promise, because the promise is for you. It's for your children. It's for all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord himself shall call. The promise is there. It's not just for us to hold on to personally, but it's for us to help others to hold on to personally. Aren't you glad that somebody shared the promise with you? Somebody shared the promise with you, and now it's your job to share that promise with someone else. You've got a personal promise, pass it on. Maybe you've got other personal promises. Maybe not just for your eternal life. Maybe you have a promise for healing and God tells you to pass that on. Maybe God's already fulfilled that promise for you and God tells you to pass it on. Pass on the promise. Make sure that others have an opportunity to know this God who wants to make a promise with you that He will never break, but He will always keep. Pass on the promise. The next thing is you've got to prepare for the promise. Prepare for the promise. Remember, Noah worked on that ark for 100 years. Even while he's passing on the promise, he's preparing for the promise. Now, here's the thing that you really got to consider. God told him he was going to have two of every kind of animal inside that boat. So not only over the course of 100 years did he have to build it, but over the course of the last several years, he had to fill it with enough food to take care of himself, his family, and all of those animals. I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant sight. But he went ahead and he prepared for the promise. He got everything in place. He put everything where it needed to be. And over the course of those 7 days, while all these animals begin to be gathered to him, they're coming to him two by two. He's putting them into their sections in the ark. And as he puts them into their sections in the ark, somebody has to clean up after them. Somebody has to clean their messes. Somebody has to go, "I do not believe for a second that the God that we serve allowed these guys to go through all of that horrible spell and that horrible smell without losing sight of the promise. I believe that they went through, and while they're scrubbing, started to say scrubbing the poop deck, but that might actually be a little bit too close to home. While they're in there, they're cleaning up after these animals. I believe that the Lord is reminding them, I've got a promise for you. I'm working with you. And so while they've got the promise, and while they're holding on to the promise, they're passing on the promise, they're preparing for the promise, they don't know what it's going to be like, but for 7 days, they're getting used to cleaning up after these animals, taking care of these animals, and they're going to keep doing that for over a year. God's getting them used to an environment that's difficult, but an environment that they have to endure to get to where the promise will be completely fulfilled. Sometimes God has us going through an environment that we might not like. He has us scraping the floors in the basement. He has us scraping the walls in the entranceway. He's trying to keep us from getting high off the fumes of the stuff that we spray and put down. But nonetheless, He's with us in the hard times. But He's preparing us to go through that environment so we can get to the place where the promise is completely fulfilled. Next time you go through a bad spell and you wonder why it is that you're going through something so hard, remember somebody had to clean up after the elephants on Noah's Ark. Somebody had to do it. We're preparing for the rain. We're preparing for the promise. You receive a personal promise. You pass on the promise. You prepare for the promise He prepared for 100 years. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness. Now it's interesting because Peter is giving us this verse after he talks about Noah and the flood. After he talks about how the way that it was and how that everyone acted and how that people are wondering, why is God not fulfilling His promise? And Peter says, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're preparing for the promise. We're passing on the promise. We're keeping a hold of that personal promise. We're not letting the promise out of sight as we're getting ready for the rain that's going to come. And then, finally, we proceed into the promise. Everything's in place. We come into the ark of God's safety. We come into the place that has been prepared. We come into that place where we know God told us we needed to be. And we come in there and we wait for the Lord to do what He wants to do. And on that 7th day, something special about 7th days, isn't there? On that 7th day after creation, God rested. 7 days after the Lord had presented Himself, He presents Himself again, and Thomas gets to put his fingers in the nail prints in His hands. 7th day. On the 7th day, they enter into the ark, and on the 7th day, it says that the Lord shut the door. The Lord shut him in. We need to enter into the promise so that the Lord may seal you inside the promise. It's going to rain. It's going to rain again around here, right? I'm waiting to hear back from the contractors and all of the plans that we need to take care of in order to make sure that the next time it rains around here, this church doesn't turn into an ark. Waiting to see, you know, how long it's going to take. What's it going to do? Trying to get prepared. Trying to get everything ready. But eventually the rain's going to come. I want to be sealed in the promise of God. I want our church to be sealed in such a way that the water's not going to be able to penetrate our basement again. Don't you think that's a pretty good thing? Those of you who've been downstairs working, you're thinking, yes, thank you, Jesus. That's an awesome thing. The promises of God that He's given to us, sometimes we need to just step into it and let God seal us in it. Whether it's a promise for provision, God, I'm coming into Your promise for provision. I want You to seal me in it. I want You to seal me in Your promise for provision. Maybe it's a promise for healing. God, seal me in your promise for healing until it comes to pass. All of us, God, seal us in your promise for eternal life until it comes to pass. Seal me in your promise, Lord God, of all of the great things you hold in store until you make it happen. Seal me in your promise. We've got to step into that promise. Proceed into the promise so that the Lord can seal you in. Now, as the Lord sealed Noah in, the waters broke loose all around, and even the waters in the heavens broke loose, and the rain began to pour, and people had never seen anything like this before. And suddenly you had people being drowned in waters. You had animals being drowned in waters. All of a sudden, all of the world, perhaps, as some people say, all the known world, but I like to read it the way that it reads in the Bible, all the world, was covered in a flood, a tidal wave that came from God. And Noah and his family are safe inside the promise. If Chris will come to the keyboard or piano. When you come into the promise and God seals you in the promise, God's going to turn all of the things that have been curses around, and He's going to use them for His glory. He's going to use them for your benefit. This is what the Lord's going to do. You see, the water of God's promise will do three things. First of all, the water from His promise is going to wash away all that defiles. Let it rain, God. Wash away all that defiles. The rain that comes into this city, it picks up all the junk and debris that's in the street, and it carries it to the nearest area where it can flow into the city's sewer drains. If it can't get in there, it clogs those areas up, and the city has to come out and open them back up, because the rain, the water, will carry away everything that's in the way. It will carry it away. When floods take place, you find debris everywhere that you didn't even know was there, but the water turned it over. The water revealed it. The water of God's promises, as you are safe, sealed within His promise, the water of His promise will reveal those things that have to be removed, and then will remove those things that defile. Isaiah said, as he stood before the Lord, as he knelt before the Lord, he said, I am unclean, I am undone, I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips, and therefore I am a person of unclean lips. But the Lord provided a way to purge him, brought fire from off of the altar, a coal, and allowed his lips to be purged so that he could go forth and proclaim the word of God. You know what? The Lord will remove those things that defile so you can have the blessing of His promise in your life. This next thing that you need to see is the water of His promise will elevate those who obey. There in verse 17, it said the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and the waters lifted up the ark. God will lift you up in His promise. God will lift you up. He will elevate you. James and Peter both agree that we're supposed to come before the Lord and we're supposed to just not be proud in ourselves, but be humble so the Lord can elevate us when He's ready to elevate us. Peter says we need to cast all of our cares on the Lord because He cares for us. The Lord wants to elevate you. He wants to take all your problems and lift you up above them. And so the waters of this promise that could have come across as a curse for Noah and his family, it was a blessing. And these waters lifted him up above the earth so he could float above all the problems and above all the difficulties. Maybe in this life you're going to experience ups and downs. And sometimes you're going to feel like you're up above the problem. And other times you're going to feel like you're right in the middle. But as long as you're sealed in the promise, you can know that God's going to lift you up. And if He doesn't lift you up here and now, He'll lift you up when the trumpet sounds. Amen. And you'll definitely be above it all then, won't you? So the water washes away all that defiles. The water elevates those who obey. And finally, the water propels the faithful. The water propels the faithful. That ark was lifted up, and now the ark had no control of where it was going to go. The water carried it to Mount Ararat. The water carried it to a resting place. The water carried it many miles over the course of a year until it finally found the place where it belonged. And the promise of God ended up being fulfilled. And when they were able to walk out of that ark, instead of seeing a storm cloud, they saw a rainbow. The first ark of the covenant that you find in Scripture. Because that ark in the sky, I know it's a different type of ark, but you hear where I'm coming from. The Lord said, "This is a sign of my covenant with you, that I will not flood the earth with water again." Doesn't mean judgment won't come again, but what it means is those things that God had used to judge the earth are the same things that God used to bring about the promise and the blessing for Noah. And the same things that God is getting ready to unleash on this world are the same things that are going to usher us into His presence. When Jesus Christ comes and the dead in Christ rise, and those of us who are alive and remain are caught up together with them in the air, Scripture says we will forevermore be with the Lord. We will forevermore be with the Lord. Same Bible says that those who see the day of the Lord will mourn that day. In the book of Revelation, it says when they see His Son in the heavens, all of the nations of this world will mourn. Why? Because that which will be judgment to the world, God intends to be a blessing for us. If we'll just seal ourselves in, or let God seal us in to His promises. Seal us in to your promises, Lord. Will you stand with me? I don't know what personal promise it is that you're holding on to this morning, but I want you to understand it's getting ready to rain, and we need to get to the point where we can say, "Lord, just let it rain. Lord, bring the rain. Lord, let the rain fall." The judgment that Noah saw come out and the blessing, that which propelled him, was a rain of water. But my Bible tells me that the next rain that will fall from God in this manner will be a rain of fire. God has given us the opportunity to enter into His ark of safety and to be sealed in His promise. But there are others outside the doors that need us to pass the promise on to them. There are people in our families that need us to pass on the promise. You know what my biggest fear is in the world? My biggest fear is not that I'm going to go bankrupt. That may be the one that the enemy tries to use the most against me, but that's not my biggest fear. My biggest fear in all the world is that somehow, though I've been preaching it and proclaiming it and doing my best to live it, that somehow my own children will not receive the promise and make it personal for them. I know my children have received Christ, and I know that maybe it's just a parent thing where you wonder, are they really serving Jesus or not? But my biggest fear in the whole world is that I will have done everything I can to get people into the ark, and my children will be on the wrong side of the door. We've got to pass on the promise. The Lord has spoken very clearly in the prayer movement that's going on in Huntington that we've got to begin now to pray for our tweens, those that aren't quite yet teenagers. And we've got to pray for our youth, and we've got to pray for our children, because God wants to bring a revival in them and through them. And I'm so concerned that for all of this work that we've done, that if I miss my children coming into the ark of safety, I'll feel like I missed it all. I know that there are others that feel that same way because you've told me that about your own children. But I want you to know that the promise that God gave you, He's going to keep it. And if we don't stop, if we will not stop passing that promise on, if we'll be faithful to pass that promise on, to prepare for the promise, and then to proceed into the promise, I believe God's going to give us our families. And the devil is a liar. all those things that He tells us and the fear that He tries to build up within us. The devil's a liar, God is greater, and He's going to keep His promise. So today I just want to encourage you, wherever you are, whatever promise it is that you're holding on to, don't be afraid to pass it on. And even if it's not your own child that you pass it on to, would you pass it on to someone else's child? Because we don't want anyone to perish. Like God, we want all to come to repentance. Will you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, God, we know that You're in charge of all things and that there's nothing too difficult for You. And God, we come before You, Lord, knowing that we've got the promise and we're encouraged by the promise that You've given to us. We're encouraged knowing You've given us eternal life and You've given us Your Spirit. And Lord, You've given us promises of healing and provision. And Lord, there are so many promises in Your Word that are coming to life within us. And Lord, we pray that these promises that we've received personally, that God, it wouldn't be something that we just hold on to until You come, but that, Lord, it would be something that we share with others. It would be something that we prepare for and something that we proceed into. Because, God, when Your promise comes, it's going to wash away all that defiles. And Lord, it may be that which is even alive right now around us. But it defiles. Lord, when Your promise comes, Lord, it's going to elevate the faithful. It's going to lift us up. And Lord, when Your promise comes, it's going to propel us into that place that You have for us. So Lord God, let us be responsive to Your promise. Embracing it, passing it on, preparing for it, and proceeding into it. So that, Lord, Your glory can be seen in such a way that the next generation will come into the ark with us. And the generation after them, should You tarry, will come into the ark with us. And Lord, even if it's 7 days, 7 years, or 700, God will see a harvest coming into the ark with us. Because we're faithful to You and trusting in the promise that You've given. So Lord God, encourage us this morning. Encourage us in Jesus' name. And Lord, let Your promise come to pass. Let it rain, God. Send Your rain, God. Send Your rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're ready to receive the rain of the Lord, just right where you are, I just want you to raise your hands toward the Lord and just ask Him to rain on your heart, to rain in your soul, to rain in your life. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, send Your rain. Lord, send Your rain. Let Your rain flood our souls and our lives, God. Let Your rain, Lord God, do a work in us. Lord God, send Your rain. Let it rain.